That's what I was going to say. You have to be honest with your coaches and tell them what your expectations are. And if she wants to quit, you have to decide, are you going to be the parent that says, you joined the team and I bought the cleats and I bought the gloves and by golly, you're going to play till the end of a season. Are you going to be like, this is the time that we can back out and it's okay?
Yeah, no, that's...
But know that before you go into it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That was something I was thinking about.
Yeah.
My whole take on it was about $60 to get her a jersey and that stuff that she needed is all she needed for the league. And I'm like, if she quits, okay, but...
You got other kids that can wear it later,
right?
She can
get playing with her cousins and some other things that are out there and kind of...
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be high charges. I mean,
you have something?
We start in March. They don't start till...
Yeah, and one of the things I neglected to say about all these domains, when one is in process, so if they're having a really hard academic lesson, so, you know, they're in second grade and they've got to learn three-digit subtraction, and that's hard processing. If they're spending lots of energy here, then you're going to see this shutdown, or you're going to see this shutdown. Or maybe they just don't want to get out of bed, or all of a sudden they want to sleep for 10 hours, or they only want to sleep for 2 hours. So that's the other thing, is that in a perfect child, everything is always balanced. But when something's happening, so with your move, if there's emotional stuff because you're leaving mom and siblings behind, and that's a really hard emotional tug, then there may be something really out of whack. And so maybe you fill that in by having that social outlet to softball. So that could be a good decision, you know? Yeah. Oh, come on. I thought y'all would just be popping.
How do you handle the why question? And then when you lie about a why question, why lie?
So
you're asking for a
second. Speaking of, our kids are still crying.
Well,
so.
Ask your dad.
Yeah, and that didn't always work, right?
That didn't work, but like I just caught to it and said, yeah, I didn't know if you would be able to handle it. I didn't know you had all that information already.
Yeah. So my advice about why questions is you tell them as much as they need to know at the age they are.
Okay.
So, you know, when my daughter asked me about how the baby got out of somebody's tummy because there were 10 people in the fellowship hall pregnant, and she was probably 4, and I said, oh, you just go to the hospital and the doctor gets it. And there was a mom here who doesn't go to our church anymore. And she goes, no, tell her the real story. And I was like, not here. This is not the place or time. And then she kept going, why aren't you telling me the real story? What is the real story? Because I heard her tell you there's a real story. What's the real story? And I was like, seriously? And so I told her more of the real story. But she was 4. And so I told her enough that she needed to know. And then, you know, as they get older, you take. But I think tell them until they're uncomfortable. And sometimes when they're pre-adolescent, when they're at the middle school age, you need to tell them beyond their comfort level, because if you don't tell them, somebody else is going to tell them. You know? So there's a point where you have to decide, okay, this topic is going to come up because they're going to go here, and so they may hear this, and I want them to hear my words in my way. And so I remember talking to my daughter sexually something, and she put her pillow on her face, and I go, you can just keep your pillow on your face all the time, but I'm not going to stop talking because you're going to hear this from me. So, you know. Yeah. But I say in those questions, tell them as much as they can handle. And you can tell when they can shut down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where does discipline fall in all of this? Like, when you know that one thing is breaking down, right? Let's say social is breaking down right now, and everything else is good.
Mm-hmm.
How do you discipline the broken down?
So, give me an example of social breaking down.
So, we moved this year, and school's been tough social-wise. It's been fine, you know, all the other stuff.
Right.
But Warren's social skills have been, he doesn't get all the social cues.
Uh-huh.
So how do you discipline?
Lots of kids don't.
Well, yeah. But,
right.
But how do you discipline when he does something, like when he's the mean boy,
but
you know he's struggling there. So how do you, like, discipline appropriately?
So with social aggressive, was he being aggressive?
No, he doesn't know when to stop.
Stop, okay.
Yeah.
So I think you have to take each of those incidents in the time and talk about them and talk about, well, what happened here and what happened there. And you can't talk it to death, too, because they're going to shut down from that, because then they're not going to be with anybody, right? One thing to do is the boy that he's being mean to, same thing, you know, make a play date.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's not about your child and this girl. but it's about your child and this girl and the six other people over here. And so I'm going to act differently with her right now because I really want to be her friend. And I'm letting them all watch me. And so I'm going to pull her hair because if I pull her hair, she's going to get my, I'm going to get her attention, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're not going to want to play with her because she's crying. Then I can go, oh, I'll take care of you. I mean, kids process that way.
Yeah.
And so if there's a particular boy or a particular friend, even a girl at that age, that seems to be a friend that he really wants to play with, that's a way to do it. You know, and y'all, kids don't just innately know how to walk up and say, hey, you want to have coffee? I'd really like to get to know you better. Instead, they walk up and go, pap, you know, or they take, oh, that's really cool. I think I like it, you know, because they don't know how to do that exchange. And so we have to help them with that. And part of that is saying, you know, sounds like, looks like you might want to play with this friend. So maybe we should go have coffee after work, I mean, after school. Or maybe we should, or maybe you should try asking if he wants to build in Legos with you. That's the center, you know. I mean, give them some ideas, some coping mechanisms to how they can go and interact with that friend more appropriately. And then praise them for the little bit they do.
Okay.
Not a 30-minute playtime, but a 5 minutes in the blocks together.
Yeah.
And so the discipline part is if there's other things going on, you have to decide what really requires discipline.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, discipline really is to stop an action. You know, and so what's the intervention that needs to really happen to stop that action? Instead, is a redirection a better way than just saying, don't be mean, because he doesn't know he's being mean.
Right, okay.
Yeah, does that help?
Yeah.
Okay.
So how much extracurricular activities do they actually need? I'm looking at, like, changing from preschool to different things, so.
Well, that is a family-by-family decision, and I think it's a kid-by-kid decision. I will tell you, as a teacher, when kids come in, as a college professor, when kids come in and they can't stay awake in class, they're overbooked. You know, your kids all need sleep, and they need more sleep than they think they need, and they need more sleep than you probably think they need. I mean, they're still growing. That's part of this physical domain. And they need that sleep. You know that. You know, doctor. And so I think at your preschoolers' ages, that's the time that you try things out, but you pay for gymnastics a month at a time to see if they're really interested in gymnastics. And you also pay for gymnastics knowing that you're just helping with gross motor skills, and that's your mindset, and that they're not going to be on the gymnastics team because they're four. You know, right? And if you really think music is a good option, you know, and that you can keep up with the lessons, because if your kids take music, it's your job too. Because if you buy the instrument and you're paying someone to teach them in music, then you have to be committed to sit with them and do those lessons. Because otherwise, you're wasting the lesson time, and you've got this instrument, and then it becomes something. You know, you have to pick your battles. Do you really want to fight about it? You know, so when one of our kids shut down about piano, I was like, so is this a battle to fight or not? You know, so we took a break and went back to it. So, but I think the kids that are structured every single night of their life, it's too much. I will tell you that one of my best Mother's Day gifts was probably when the kids were 9 and 10. I asked for a set of walkie-talkies because I decided that I'd overstructured. Here's the scenario. We were at the Houston Gymnastics Academy where both of my daughters were on team. We also did swim team, so we swam. One night a week that we didn't do gymnastics. We also were very involved in here, so they came here to all the Wednesday night activities. So sometimes I would pick them up from school, do gymnastics, and then come straight here in gymnastics, and then go back for more gymnastics because that's what team does. And then they both were, we were at a music magnet, and so Amy played the clarinet and Sally played the cello. And there was one night I was sitting in Houston Gymnastics, and Amy was doing her gymnastics with her team, and Sally was playing her cello, and we were intermittently playing cello and doing math homework. And I thought, whoa, what am I doing? You know, because then I'm thinking, we still don't have dinner. I still haven't fed them. So what are we going to eat? And, you know, this is too much. And it's going to be 10 o'clock before we get home. And so there's a point where you have to go, what do they really like? But I think as preschoolers or young elementary, you let them try things, but know that, I mean, the Y is a great place to try that out, you know, the place where everybody gets a trophy. But you try it out, and you figure out what they love, and you figure out what you can tolerate, too. You know, I didn't really love swim team, but my kids really love swim team. Anybody's kids swim? Betsy's. It's the hurry up and get there and wait forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And then if you happen to not hear the call or see your kid go across the pool, you're like, oh, I waited for 5 hours and I missed that 30-second swim. You know? But so that becomes your community, you know? And so if that's who you want to be your community as parents, that's great. And, you know, I ended up loving swim and we swam through middle school. But that's is that a good direct, not direct answer?
Is it cool if I don't put her in anything?
Yes.
And, but Larissa, you're not putting her in anything. I mean, she's in a daycare that has other activities that's within that daycare. I mean,
I'm thinking about going to a nanny, though. So
going to a nanny, you have to make sure that you come here, right? Because if you go to a nanny, then this part and a little bit of this part may be a little wonky, but not in a bad way wonky. You know, it depends on who your nanny is and what they do interactively. But as long as you've got a social place for your kids to be, it's fine. And by 5 or 6, she may tell you that she wants to do something. In fact, she probably will tell you that she wants to do something. But I think it's okay to limit them to one or maybe two things. You know, maybe a sport and a music. You know, that's a fair, balanced thing, and that's not going to take up 6 nights a week. That's just my opinion. To what? That too much?
No, it just... Well, you know, I felt...
You feel the pressure from everybody else because everybody else is
no,
doing
I've
all that stuff?
No, I've had her in a lot of stuff, and I feel like everyone is just me getting her to all this stuff,
right.
And it's exhausting.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So.
Right. I had a minivan, you know, with the console that was the school box. You know, we had markers and scissors and glue and crayons and glitter and everything you could do. And poster board in the back, ready to go. You know, and that's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I was like, what have I done? We don't need to be somewhere every night. You know, we need to sit around our table. Y'all know the research shows that the kids who score the highest on the SAT have dinner at their, with their family at their table every night? Huh. It is interesting. So... That is current research that says sit down and talk to your kids, you know.
I do like that one music, one sport.
Yeah, I think one music, one sport is a very balanced. Right, church fits right into that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you can do a music lesson that's a 30-minute lesson,
mm-hmm.
and then you have 20 minutes every night to practice that instrument. That could lead to other instruments. You never know. They're really gifted, and they love it, you know. And then one sport puts the physical, and most sports usually have 2 practices a week in games. And so, you know, in games are sporadic. Sometimes they're on a weekend, and sometimes you have a tournament. But they're also the season ends.
So I was going to say, that's why it's nice to have it in different seasons.
Right.
And still try other things.
Right, exactly.
You usually don't overlap.
You know, and eventually they're going to let you know, this is what it is. Or you're going to tell they're really gifted at this. You know, this seems to be where they find joy, and when they find joy, I find joy. And that's what it's about. Yeah. What else?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am?
Since you've kind of seen all sides of different schools from Kincaid to, like,
mm-hmm.
So how much of a difference does it really make where your kid goes to school?
It doesn't. It makes a difference of where you're involved with your kid in the school. I really believe that. There are good and bad teachers in every school. There are good and bad curricula in every school. I don't care how much money you pay or how much money you don't pay or how much school taxes you pay or how long you wait in the line or how much you call the people to let them know that you're next on the waiting list and you want to be there. I think the key to having a successful school is you being invested in the school. And so when you make the decision that is the school for your child this year, you should invest in the school and join the PTO and be involved and know who the parents are and know what's going on. And if it's not a good fit, kids are resilient. You find another school. Is that a bad answer?
No.
I mean, I'll tell you
what is
that.
It, but investment can look, invested in the school can look different ways. I mean, there are some moms who were there and who were at every...
Okay, so
like,
so I worked full time,
yeah.
And I was an educator. I couldn't be there all the time.
Okay.
But the things I could do, I was there. And I was supportive of the school with my child. So my kids knew that I appreciated that. And when we had the year with the bad teacher, we got through it, you know? Because when you have the year with the bad teacher, there's another teacher coming. Yes?
I've dealt with some of that, and I just was going to tell you, like, one thing I think, at least for mine, that involved being supportive of the school because I work nights and all these other weird shifts, is also backing up your teachers. I used to teach for, like, 2 years, and one thing with mine with the ODD and stuff is she'll come home when she's had a bad day. She'll try to play the game where she tries to pin everything that bad that happened on the teachers
that's
and dodge it. And my response to that is, like, if you're in trouble at school, you're in trouble at home.
Right.
You need to understand, like, those are authorities. You respect that authority. You have to have their back, too, because when you have their back, it works a lot better.
Yeah, I used to tell my parents at parent night, you know, open house, I'd say, okay, if you believe half of what they tell you, I'll believe half of what they tell me. Because they come and tell me stuff, and I'm like, your mama said, what? Your daddy did what? And so really, I mean, that's the give and take. And when the child comes in and says, well, my dad did, la, 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 I'm like, there's probably another side to the story. And so sometimes if they were really upset, you know, you call the parent and go, you know, I've got Ara here, and this is what she's telling me, and so I just want to know how to navigate this, and that it be okay today, and you get a different side. Because remember, they're not lying to you. They're telling you their perspective. You know, often as adults, we jump to, that kid's a liar. Not necessarily. That kid's telling you what they perceive. They're telling you my perspective of how it happened, and it's colored by what's going on with me. You know, because if I'm out of filter over here, something's going on, I'm going to tell you skewed from that angle. And so that's what we have to remember, especially young children. Kids are honest, you know? And so when there's something twisted around, it's probably because something's going on, and that is how they perceive that to happen. So they're being honest with you. It's just a six-year-old's perspective to it.
That's a hard one that I've had to learn this year, too, because, like, I've actually had, like, I'm best friends with the past teacher. Like, we got along really quickly to, like, make sure we're on the same page, some emails and stuff. But I've had Claire come home, and she'll be like, this and this happened, but it was this, 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 and this. And I'm like, I've already talked to the past teacher, and I'll pull the email up, and I'll be like, well, this is what she says.
Yeah.
We'll go through that line by line. But I don't know. My advice on that one is if you get in good with the teachers and you have that communication, it helps out a lot. Them knowing what you can and can't get away with.
So this, I saw you for a second. So I would just say that, and Dad, this isn't against you, but God has equipped us with this mommy gut. There's an innateness about being a mom. And if you walk in a school and your gut says run, you should listen to it.
You should.
There. There are times when you're as adults we're at places and we're like, I'm not sure. If you're not sure, don't stay.
And also you'll realize it's not worth it. Sometimes it's not worth the fight.
Right. So you've got to, that's it. You've got to pick your battle. And really, if you're in a school and there's a sense to you that this may not be the right fit for my child. So I was an administrator at a school that wasn't the fit for both of my children. And I had to make a decision that even though I was an administrator there, one of my kids didn't really fit. And there was a better fit for her someplace else. And that was a hard decision, but it was the right decision. And once we made it, I was like, of course. You know, so.
I was just going to ask, at what point is it not like, oh, that's my child's truth, and that's their perception, and, like,
well, that's
you're lying about everything.
So, I would always start with, is that the truth, or is that what you think is the truth? Did that really happen, or is that what you think happened, or is that what you want to happen? And then you have to have their world is black and white until they're about seven. And so about seven, they get that gray going on. And that's when you start hearing things could be just a little exaggerated here or that, or they don't tell you everything, and not telling me everything is not a lie, but not telling me everything is a lie, right? And so that's where you have to talk about morals, you know. You know, we learn that we have to be honest, and so I need you to be honest with me. And if you say to your child, tell me the truth and you won't get in trouble, you can't punish them. And that's hard, because they tell you something and you're like, you were the mean kid and you said what to who and you did what? And you've got to go. But you know what? I'm so proud of you for being honest. And then you go in the room and scream in the pillow, and you think, okay, how am I going to fix this? You know, how is this not going to happen again? But sometimes it takes that, is that you just have to tell me the truth. I know that you think you're going to be in trouble if you don't tell me the truth, so I'm going to promise to you, you won't be in trouble if you tell me the truth. And then you have to deal with it. And I'm telling you that's a hard parenting thing because I'm telling you I've been there going, well, now that I know, you know, and you have to go, hey, but I really, you know, and that's something you have to agree on with your spouse because, you know, Doug and I have like, well, she did what? Well, I'm punished. I'm like, no, because she told me. So because she told me we can't do anything except talk about the consequences about that it will never happen again. Yeah. Yeah. You know when they're old enough and they know. And you know when they're trying to do that. And you know when they're trying to manipulate. Okay. Is it time? What else? I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely.
I'm not really sure how to phrase it. It's kind of like a more general question.
It's okay.
So I have a 3-year-old, a 16-month-old, and a 1-month-old.
Uh-huh.
And so with my 3-year-old, I'm at home all the time with all of them. So there's no daycare. There's other than like coming to church.
Yeah.
And then the odd Tuesday or Thursday. Or
right, right.
So in our neighborhood, we live in the Heights, and it seems like there's a lot of like very professional, like high track, like type A personality, pushing really hard. Their kids are doing all these things. They've got nannies. Their kids are all bilingual. Like, they're doing all these things, and I'm like at home. My kids are unilingual.
So
I feel a lot of pressure to do things that I don't.
And you have to you have to release that.
Let's do
because,
that.
I mean, really, remember what I said? Being a parent is about joy and about your kids finding joy and you finding joy in your kids.
And what I said about you, it's
just about what? What'd you say? It is. It is. So but you're coming here, so they come to Sunday school, so your 3-year-old comes to Sunday school, comes to Wednesday night activities, comes to play days?
Sometimes,
but not, okay, but still, but if I were to say, does your 3-year-old have friends at church, what would you say?
Absolutely.
So what are you worried about?
Yeah, well, I mean, just thinking like with this like college cheating thing, like how parents are just so crazy, like how do you not?
So you know what? So here's what you have to think about. There are always going to be people in our lives that are cheaters, no matter where we go and what we do.
But there's a spectrum.
There is.
Like, I remember sitting with some parents, and they were just casually talking, oh, my 4-year-old, she's in dance, and I spent $400 on a leotard for her.
$400?
I looked at some magazines, and I priced them out, and I was like,
right, yeah, right. So that gymnastics story I told you, let me tell you a little bit more. So the gymnastics story I told you about, so I'm like thinking, because I had the same thing, I'm caught up, guys, because I'm a working mom, so I feel guilty, right? So I'm a working mom, and I get home, and I'm like, oh, I got to get him here, I got to get him there, and I get him there. And I had a nanny that picked them up and would meet me places, you know, like, if you can pick them up and get them there, but I'll meet y'all there, and we'll tag, and, you know, and I mean, and make sure you bring that for the homework kit. And, you know, Ms. Hortensia has done lots of homework projects with my children growing up. That's a confession, promise. And so, you know, we come out and go, let's wait till Wednesday night. We'll take her to church and Ms. Hortensia will help with that. I go, here's my bag. There's glue sticks and glue. And here's a box. And so here's what she needs to make.
You do not walk this path of parenting alone.
I'm not the perfect mom. I was not the perfect mom. So yeah, that's confession. Okay, so don't tell Hortensia. Y'all don't, I'll give her your projects next week. Okay. So, but I distinctly remember that. So at that, one of those, in one of my ahas, like where I'm going, am I doing the right thing? Should I take them out of gymnastics? Because when they asked one of my girls to be on the team, I was like, hey, you want my kid to be on the gymnastics? What? Are you sure? We got new warm-ups. We already had 3 other warm-ups because, you know, every time you go to competition, you got to be all just the same. And I'm thinking, what? And it was something ridiculous, like another $100 for another warm-up. And I'm thinking, do we really need another warm-up? And so I felt that pressure stuff. So Mary Lou Redden's daughter was on team with one of my daughters. And they got in trouble all the time. So when we were sitting there doing homework, you know, playing cello or the clarinet or whatever we were doing our homework, they were getting in trouble, my daughter and her daughter, and she turned to me and she goes, you know, this is ridiculous. They're 8 years old. I didn't even start gymnastics until I was 14. And I went, Really? Wow. Well, because I don't think we're going to the Olympics. So. And so I'm thinking, huh? So this multi-gold Olympian is telling me that she thinks what's happened out there on the gym floor is as ridiculous as I feel it is. And so all of those things finally made me go, it's time to stop this. I mean, it's time to stop being at the gym 6 days a week, really, because we were at the gym 6 days a week. Yeah. So that's the other side of that. So I think it's not a bad idea to put your three-year-old in a something, but it doesn't have to be a something right now. It can be wait till she's four.
You will.
Yeah.
You'll be more people like you in the, like, both times at the library.
Exactly.
And go to the, it doesn't have to be
a downtown library has great.
Exactly.
But you're going to.
The Heights branch, I'm sure, has awesome story times. Right.
People and those things than you will at
so,
the baby tumbling at $30 a
right,
month.
Right, right. I mean, exactly.
And I'm not the people who do it. But
No. But
I have the money for that stuff with them. I mean, we didn't have that kind of money. We went to the library. We went to the free museum days. Anything that was free, we did. But everybody was like me and them. And when we went, and so it was.
Well, I think those are those opportunities, and they're just playing in the park, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
One of the things as a teacher, you know, so what I teach at HBU is pre-service teachers. So I teach the people who are going to be teaching your kids, right? And so one of the things that we know is that kids aren't coming equipped with imagination. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my professors says there are no child left behind babies. You know, they want to know, what's the rubric? How do I get the A, and how do I do this, you know, and what do I do? And their college kids and their moms call us, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. FERPA doesn't allow me to speak to you about your child, and if you need to know about your child, you're going to have to call them. Well, hey, I pay the tuition, right? So you don't want to be that mom, you know? And so I think that the more that you can give your kids cognitive processing with language development and exploration, kids explore naturally. Kids are sponges. They want to explore. They want to touch and smell and taste and feel and do all the things that sometimes drive us crazy as moms. But a park play date and putting them in the stroller and walking around the block and talking about the things, putting them in the buggy and taking them to the grocery store. What I would say, you have three, you said, right?
Sorry?
You have three children?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say your challenge is giving them each one-on-one time. I mean, that's a whole nother talk, but, you know, giving them one-on-one time where you let each child be in control of that time, and again, if you say to your kid who's having a meltdown, I'm going to give you 20 minutes of undivided time, and you get to be the boss and tell me what to do, and they want to paint your toenails purple, you have to sit there and let them paint your toenails purple because that's what they chose as fun. You know, but giving them some control back and giving you undivided attention, a little bit of time with each kid will go a long way.
How often should you be doing that?
Once a week?
A couple times a week, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, especially...
Oh, for real.
For real. But if you have three kids and you go...
No dad at home and me doing everything... Because sometimes... No, I'm being serious.
Yeah, I hear you.
I feel like we would get to bed by like 11 o'clock.
It doesn't... But how do you know? You wake one of them up early and you say, you wake one of them up early and say, hey, we're going to have early time this morning. And if they know they get to be the boss of you,
pretty much.
And you're going to set the timer for 10 minutes and they get to do whatever they want to do with you for 10 minutes, that goes a long way. And what that does, that fills this up.
But we did that just even one of them staying at 15 extra minutes.
That's it.
One night.
So even a once a week thing, but yeah, I'm not saying let's go on a date. I mean, that's awesome too, but I'm not saying let's go on a date and go out and you get to pick where we go and, you know, sure, you want to go to Mark's, or Mark's isn't open anymore, but, you know, you want to go somewhere. That's not, I'm saying it's called, there's actually research, it's called Floor Time. It's a group that came out of Texas Children's. And part of that is just letting them, they need to control something. We control everything. We control where they go to school. We control what they wear. We mostly control what they eat. We control who they play with. I mean, we control them completely. And so this is giving kids an allowance to let them be in charge. But you have to follow through.
And it goes by fast. I started doing that at Aver, but I put a timer on it.
Yeah, no, you should put a timer. You say,
I do.
I
put 20
you
minutes.
Call it wherever it's going to be, mommy time. And you turn
minutes,
it and you go, when this clicker clicks, this goes away and we're going to clean it up. But I'm just saying, for multiple kids, that's a way to do it. And that really helps fills up their tank, that one-on-one time.
Yeah.
I kind of piggybacking off that with the fact that I'm doing the move and the two are staying down there. The oldest one wanted to come with dad, and then mom kind of pushed back on it, didn't want that, ended up talking to her and got her to where she wanted to, but she felt bad, so she ended up returning to and staying. One of my concerns is because she was always been very tight with me.
So FaceTime with her.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, what is...
Private
what is the best way to go about doing that? Particularly if that relationship between me and the ex is not very good.
And write her a letter. I mean, go back to the thing. We don't do that enough, you know? Write her a letter and FaceTime with her. Yeah, I know it's time. Y'all have time.
Thank you.
Oh, it's over time. I'm so sorry.
Like, you want to hear it. Thank you.